to Charts and Hearts. I'm Sarah, and she's Lindsay.
And together, we're working our way through an epic list of rom-coms in order to find and categorize tropes in the hopes of creating the nerdiest spreadsheet podcasts have ever seen.
And welcome to Music Month. Not musical month, but
music.
Movies about music. Mm-hmm. And this episode is music and lyrics.
Oh my god, this movie is so good.
It's so good. I mean, it's very 2007. Oh yes,
that is entirely true. But it's so much better than I
so
remember.
Good. It's as good as I remember and better than I feared it could have been. Because sometimes you remember these things as being very charming. Mm-hmm. I feel like, did you and I go to the theaters to watch this movie?
Maybe. I don't know. Didn't it come out in like January?
I feel like I saw this movie in theaters, but that could be entirely wrong. Do not know. Anyways, it's great. Hugh Grant, Drew Barrymore. They should do more stuff together. Or they should have done more stuff together. Oh, yeah.
February 14th, 2007. We did not. We were not together in February 2007.
Oh.
Well, I think we rented it from our magical Australian $1. Oh,
maybe that's why it just sticks in my memory. Yeah.
I have definitely watched it in Australia. Probably a
lot. Maybe it's an Australia memory rather than a random movie theater memory. Yeah.
Anyway, they are very charming together. And I was like, and they're only 14 years apart in difference.
Yeah.
Which, like, it's a lot to do with her character and also his character because he's supposed to be, like, so old, in quotes. But also she's very manic pixie at the beginning and young. And so I'm like, I was a little bit concerned, even though I know that Drew Barrymore is older than you think she is?
Yeah. And because, like, 14 years is, like, a pretty big age gap. But when they're both, like, I don't know, she's at least in her mid-30s.
I don't know. Is she?
In this movie.
Oh, like, Drew Barrymore is. But she's...
Yeah.
It was just, like, the whole character? Thing about being out of school. Or I guess, no, she was going back to school. Okay, so, you know, you're
That was her going back, to school. So maybe early 30s in the movie. But, like, Drew Barrymore, and when this was filmed, was... Yeah, she was born in 75, so she would have been, like, 32. Yeah. So, yeah. So, anyways, like, the age gap isn't that bad versus...
Yeah, like, 32 and 47 or whatever. Yeah, 46 is not as terrifying as 22 and 36.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, they are coming at things, like, in a collegial way. Like, it's not like he hires her or he has a lot of power over her, or that, like, she's a big fangirl like her sister. Yeah. Like, she vaguely knows who he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So this is the one where Hugh Grant is a washed-up pop star making barely a living by, like, playing at theme parks and cruises and whatever. And then gets hired by a very famous pop star to, like, collab on a song. And so he needs to hire a lyricist. And his, like, random girl that comes into his apartment to look after his plants is apparently a brilliant lyricist. And then they fall in love. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very cute. And... could not have been made if it wasn't for the Hugh Grant dancing scenes.
It basically in Love Actually. Is. Like, he's even with the white shirt, right? Like, it's just...
Yeah, yeah. He wears basically all the time a white button-up and black pants and a black, like, jacket. It's like suit jacket.
Yeah, and the hip thrusts that he does throughout the entire thing, which are hilarious, is an actual move from the Love Actually dance. So it's just, they saw that, like, and they're like, how can we make this into a movie?
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, and, like, they expand on it in this, and it's like 5% less awkward than the Prime Minister dancing.
Yes,
but not a lot less. Yeah. Oh man, so ridiculous.
But he is at his peak charm in this.
Like, oh yeah,
he is his peak aught charm because he's got his, like, floppiness charm.
Yeah, he's got, like,
in the '90s.
'90s like. Baby Hugh Grant, floppy.
And now he's just like
early 90s.
I'm still so boyish and lovable and charming, even though I'm older now. But I'm also, like, and this one is so self-deprecating, but, like, in a okay way. Like, aside from he does have, like, concerns about what he's doing with his life. And he's obviously not great money-wise, but he's actually, like, he's not concerned about that his band is over. You know, like, he's not super mad at the famous guy, his partner, and he's not
yeah, I think he was, but yeah. You know, he's moved on. And he's also not like trying to pretend that he's still 25.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it, is that he's not trying to relive his glory days. He's just like using it as a convenience way to do his job, basically.
Yeah, like he realized that there's a way for him to make money by appealing to the, you know, middle-aged people who were his fans when they were teenagers. Yep. And yeah, like, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, if people are willing to pay you to perform for them, why wouldn't, and like they're getting joy out of it and you still love performing, like why is that a thing to, like, you know, some people feel ashamed about that, I'm sure, but like, or like would project shame onto him for it, but like, whatever.
Actually, thinking about it, we're going to meet another one who does not feel good about it in next week's episode. That didn't even,
very true.
I didn't even think about that. Also, with the fully white shirt. Hey, look at that.
Oh, man. It's accidental weird. Comparisons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the pop star we get,
Cora,
is very like Kesha, Shakira. Yeah,
but they didn't exist yet. Well, Shakira existed.
Shakira did. But not Kesha. And like, I think Kesha did.
In 2007?
I don't know.
But she is supposed to be a mix of Britney and Christina and Madonna.
Yeah. Yeah, but like new.
Yeah, and you can tell
they're newer.
The way that they're like, wow, she's so over sexualized is it's just Britney and Christina, especially in the aughts.
Yeah, like when she's basically wearing, you know, mostly like a bikini most of the time, and like, yeah, they're trying to show her as over sexualized. I did like that she wasn't, obviously, like, she's not plus size person or anything, but she wasn't like
terrifying,
scandalously skinny, like worried that she has an eating disorder, kind of. Which would have been very also on par for 2007.
Yeah, that was a surprising thing. And also, she's ditzy and she's dumb and she's whatever, 22. Yeah. And she's famous and she's 22 or whatever.
Yeah.
But she's not...
With, like, no limits on her...
Yeah.
Like...
She's got a lot of power.
Yeah. Yeah, she has a lot of power and not a lot of brains on how to use it.
Yeah, but she's still, she's still nice. Which
she's sweet and like seems like, you know, she treats the people around her nicely, even though she's like, she has weird demands, but she's not like being rude to people or anything. Sounds... And a pre-Glee Matthew Morrison plays her manager.
Weird. I remember discovering that after Glee and then like looking him up, and I was like, it's weird. It's not weird because people go into movies all the time, but it's one of those ones where it's like, this is a movie with people singing in it. But he's not singing, and it's just one of those weird, enchanted.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Yeah,
but yeah, it's so funny. He's just there, unknown of the sweater vests to come.
Oh man, and like crazy pop star moments.
Yeah,
yeah. Also, we get Kristen Johnson plays Drew Barrymore's sister, which I love her so much.
I think she's really delightful. Great in this movie.
Yeah, she's really funny because, she's a huge fan of
the band. Yeah.
The band. Because, she's like just enough older. And I don't know. I just love Kristen Johnson. I think.
Yeah.
I always like when she pops up and stuff.
Yeah. She is running a weight loss company, which is neither here nor there. But there's some just classic fat shaming asides, which are unnecessary.
Yeah.
And like also like why? Why does it have to be a weight loss company? Not at all.
There's no reason for it. It's been like just a very
boba tea. Like, it could have been literally
anything. Yeah.
So it's just very strange. Those weird. But yeah, like Drew and Hugh and their banter is, because also again he's like peak bantery charmingness. But so I was just like, I'm into this. I'm into just the two of them just bantering at each other.
And because like the plot of the movie is them like riffing on each other's ideas and like working together, and they just do it so well, and you just they're both incredibly charming, and that's the whole thing. So they're I really like watching them like collaborate together, and like even before they fall for each other, they're just so like, it's not really that flirty. It's like, obviously we realize it, there is flirting behind it later, but like the whole time that they're just like trying to write lyrics together before they get together, it's just riffing on ideas and it's
he banters with delightful. Literally everybody, so it's just a
And then Oh yeah, speaking of other people that pop up in this movie, so we don't really see him other than in the like music videos and stuff, but the other the guy that plays the guy other boy band guy is Scott Porter, who also from like 2006 to 2010 was playing like, well, at the beginning he was a high school student in Friday Night Lights. And then he's also trying to show that he's the same age as, obviously, like an age down Hugh Grant. It's just hilarious. And I think he's closer to Hugh Grant in age than high school.
Yeah, probably. He was also in 10 Years, which I think came out in like 2011 or something.
Yeah.
The reunion thing where he's just around playing all sorts of ages at the same time.
I love him a lot, though.
Yeah, and then Brad Garrett also is not in a lot of stuff. And he's, aside from the obvious, but he's really funny. He's very Brad Garrett-y and so
and dry, super supportive. But
like, and he's very supportive. I really liked him.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. And then, oh, so many pop-up video references in this movie, which, like, man, when we were away with friends this weekend, or a couple weeks ago, we went down a pop-up video rabbit hole, and it was really good. It was really highly good. Recommend.
Yeah, and so, yeah, it's one pop-up of video. Those things of... Obviously, this movie is meant for us, millennials and Gen X's, because of the boy band era and all of that stuff. But, like, having it then end in a pop-up video was like, you know what you're doing. It was
peak. Yeah. Peak delightfulness. And, yeah, the only other observation I had was, like, man, when they hooked up, it must have been really good for them to have fallen asleep and stayed under the piano. Because that seems just, like, uncomfortable.
Just all around.
Yeah, like just the floor.
Just the floor. And plus, like,
I mean, it's a big piano, but it's still, like, squishy. And
there's so many
They got up to get, like, blankets.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah,
it's just weird.
But the visuals are romantic. Mm-hmm.
But there were so many other places they could have been doing just the things that couches. They were doing. Yeah, exactly. And indeed. Also the bed, which was not far away.
No.
It was a waterbed, though, which is hilarious.
Like, I'm glad they didn't show them.
Is never mentioned. In the water. It's like, just... like there for you to remark upon, and that's pretty great.
Well, it's like, of course he has a waterbed, but yeah, like, you know, so maybe sleeping with somebody, like actually sleeping, not like having sex, sleeping with somebody that you're not used to sharing a bed with is probably better on the floor than a waterbed. As somebody who had a waterbed growing up. God. Not good for sleepovers. So
weird.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Tropes?
So many tropes. Mm-hmm. But all like normal ones.
Yeah, there was a good chunk in the middle there where I was like, I'm not writing down any tropes. So
no.
Yeah.
That's good.
So yeah, so again, at the beginning I was like, is she a manic pixie? Because I haven't watched this movie in 20 years. I don't remember. And I think what takes her away from that is this other trope of the douchey ex who's just so over the top dickish that you're like, yeah.
And also that she fixes his problems not because of her love or her magicness, but because they work together really well.
Yeah, no, yeah. So that's why she's not, like, she's just, it's mainly at the beginning when she's, like,
at the beginning
chattering when she's, so much and is just, like, so, whatever.
That totally I was talkative.
Like, what is she going to end up like? But then as soon as she, like, reveals her backstory, I'm like, oh, no, she has a backstory, so therefore she can't be a magic pixie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, because I'd forgotten about the whole plot line
Me too.
Of the, like, her, like, writing professor that... like hooked up with her and then ruined her, like, in a book, like a very public shaming basically of her writing skills.
Yeah Falling in lust quickly because it's 3 days or something that they write the song, and at the end they do it under the piano. And then this one, which we've never really actually categorized, but we've missed a lot of, but the declaration and to your friend or sister or whatever, because this is a not gendered trope, which is definitely, I'm not falling for him.
Right.
Yeah. Just like.
Yeah. Like the main character doth protest too much.
Exactly. Yeah. It's definitely something that I was like, we should have been tracking this like 2 years ago.
Protestations of love. Oh, we get some solid New York City action, which is always good. It's not like the most New York City, but it definitely is.
Yeah, it's just there,
definitely set in New York. Like it's not New accidentally York. New York.
And then montage, and this is the moving on kind of montage, just
Mm-hmm.
Getting over them after their big fight.
Yeah. Oh, and it is like a heartbreaking fight.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh yeah, we got the sassy sister with the incredibly bland, but like not terrible husband. Just
yeah,
like
he's just bland.
Cardboard.
He's just there.
Cardboard cut out mm-hmm. of a husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then a big song at the end to declare his love. Big surprise song. Yeah.
Surprise song at a pop star's stadium concert. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that is totally reasonable.
I know.
And realistic.
Just thinking, because obviously like... we are in a certain era right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, what would that be like?
Also, like, I don't think she would have had a grand piano ready to roll onto the stage.
No, definitely not.
Oh, but it's really good.
It's, yeah,
and I'm funny. Into it. And yeah, like, it's good that he's not a lyricist. Like, I don't think the song he writes for her is going to be a big hit, but it is really sweet.
It's really sweet. And it's, again, it's full of his, like, self-deprecating charm, like, bantery kind of stuff, which I love because it's very much him of staying, of like, or whatever. Yeah. I want to be with you even though you killed all my plants or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So cute. So cute. Lindsay, does this movie pass the Bechdel test?
I think probably on a technicality.
Yeah.
She does talk to her sister about a lot of stuff. They're very close. She talks to her about...
Well, they talk about, like, work.
They do talk about work. They talk about the boy band, which is still does not a technical pass, but, like, they talk about it as opposed to talking about just Hugh Grant at times as well. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Technically... Yes.
Technically, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there's... And I guess she talks to, but also in the same room as all the men, she talks to Cora.
Oh, yeah, that's true. She talks to Cora about, about her thoughts on the song.
Lyrics and stuff, yeah. Okay, let's make a pie.
Large wedges in this one.
Yeah, large wedges in this one. Okay. Hip thrusts and dances.
Oh, my God.
So dancing many. With your hips. Because, like, so Hugh Grant does a bunch, and then also Cora does a bunch. But, like, in their different... song, she does, like, little sneaky, like, belly dancey kind of ones. Mm-hmm. It's really cute.
It is.
I don't know, like, 60%?
Yep. No, yeah, I'm into it. Because, like, this is why this movie exists, is Hugh Grant's ability to thrust his hips.
Uh-huh.
It's, like, not just his signature move, but it's also, like, a plot point of him doing it for people, and he knows it's what they like. And then also, like, there's the hilarity part where he pulls his muscle because he's old
and he like asks the audience if his pants are too tight
and then
he plays into it.
Montage, the moving on montage, he's trying to learn her choreography, Cora's choreography, which are hips like in the other way movement, and he's like, just like, nope, I'm just gonna do style. my pops because that's what I'm comfortable with. And it's funny because it's like it's his crutch and it's his moneymaker and it's his thing, but also like, and it exists because once upon a time he was in another movie, so
so funny. Okay, cultural appropriation.
Yeah, so this is the part we didn't really talk about with Cora. She's very nice and sweet, and in very much is taking all of the things that she finds charming about Buddhism and just using them.
And also combining sort of very naively, like, an appreciation of, like, Buddhist aesthetic and, like, belly dancing and also just, like, being a sexy pop star and, like, none of these things other than, so, like, I don't know, having a giant Buddha statue on your stage, it's not the most, like, culturally, like, aware move.
Yeah. Shanti, is that what she says?
She says all kinds of like absurd,
like kind of
sounding phrases. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this was an interesting part of the trivia because they were like, she's does a lot of this, and she's based off of Britney, who did a lot of religious symbolism in "Hit Me, Baby, One More Time." And I'm like, okay, I guess she was wearing a Catholic schoolgirl outfit, and also that's not cultural appropriation. But this is where the Madonna part comes in again, is that Madonna did do stuff more similar to this with other more religions like that wasn't like Catholicism, although not, I'm pretty sure she probably did some of that as well. And but still, that's where that part of Cora being Madonna based.
Yeah, so from. It's a very Cora thing, and like I don't feel like it was done because like pop stars do it, it wasn't done to like do make a commentary
no,
about
exactly,
like
how it was 2007 how, so
like
yeah nobody was
stereotypical white girl she is. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like 20.
Yeah,
and that leaves us with 20% for white button-up shirts.
Yeah, and it's like all he wears. And he looks
yeah,
good
it's all he wears. He wears them so well. He's got the like floppy sleeves that stick out the cuffs of his jacket. Man, it's good times.
Yeah.
The only like the trope that doesn't happen is she doesn't wear one of them, as far as I know.
No, she doesn't. She just wears a blanket wrapped around her, and it's not even a dumb top sheet kind of thing. It was the blanket from underneath
it's like
the
a
piano.
Couch blanket.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
She's actually wrapped it around her. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So yeah.
Yeah. No, so, you know, for a shirt that, for a, sorry, a movie that features a lot of
white button-up
shirts.
Yeah, surprising.
Yeah. And what do you think's next for them?
I don't know. I feel promising. Like, obviously in the pop-up video, it said they were still together after a decent amount of time.
Yeah, and, like, they wrote, like, 5 more hit songs. So.
Yeah, I think, again, because even though it was quick, they were friends, and they are also adults, and they were able to talk to each other. About things.
Yeah, they had really good communication by the end of things.
Yeah, and even their fight was a mature kind of fight. It wasn't like a misunderstanding that happened because they didn't communicate with each other. They were communicating with each other, and they didn't like how the other one felt about it. Like, So, like,
and then they worked to like change the other's mind. Yeah.
So yeah.
So I feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel good about it. Yeah. Yeah, I guess, like, the only thing is, like, the age thing might come up in terms of, like, if, you know, building a family together and stuff, that, you know, gets complicated. Yeah. But, you know, who knows? And, Lindsay, we hinted at it earlier, but what's next for us?
Say no more, money more. Classic white shirt has been pop singer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Empire Records. Yeah. Coming up next, the best.
Oh, my God. I love that movie so much.
Too. I'm excited.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, so good.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the end of this episode. You can leave us a rating or a review wherever you get your podcasts, and you can find us on social media. We're at Charts and Hearts Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Threads, or at Charts and Hearts on Twitter.
You can also head to our website at chartsandhearts.com, where you can submit your suggestions for rom-coms and tropes for us to add to the list. And you can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/chartsandheartsclub. We do have a Spotify playlist where we put music from all our movies on, so this one will have some super fun stuff, including this
bangers
stupid song Pop Goes My Heart that is always stuck in my head for like 3 weeks. And also on our Patreon, we've got Patreon special episodes that go with the theme of a month. This month, for Music Month, we're doing That Thing You Do, because that movie rules.
I love that movie so much. And it and Empire Records will balance out the playlist editions for this week.
It will be great.
As always, we would love to know your thoughts on this movie. And in the meantime, I have amazing insight. I would use it on myself, only I don't have any problems.
Classic. So good.